This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
The case of Janice v. AFSCME, upholding the constitutional right of public sector employees not to be required to belong to a union or pay any fees to a union as a condition of employment, was a major victory for workers. But not all unions are following the law. To learn more, we turn to Keith Williams, who is Pennsylvania Director of Americans for Fair Treatment. Before we start talking about the current status of worker rights relative to the Janice decision, for those in our audience who are unfamiliar with what the Janice decision is, and this was a case that was taken all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, give us a little background on what the issue was that the court ruled on and what the court ruling ended up being.
Back to the, I guess, the initial plaintiff there, Mark Janice. Mm-hmm. Mark was a state worker in Illinois, and he was under the representation of AFSCME at the time and was basically forced. He did not necessarily want to be a member of AFSCME, but was forced to pay roughly 80% of full union dues to AFSCME because they represented him. Now, he didn't have a choice in who represented him. He had to take their representation. But he also had to pay them for the, you know, as they saw it, the benefits of membership and their representation. So he did not agree with their political stance on things and their politicking and their political activism. And so he felt that being compelled to pay them to subsidize their political speech essentially was a violation of his First Amendment rights. So took that to court. In essence, the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. And this, again, I think it's important to note, is specifically in the public sector. They ruled that any public sector union, their dues are inherently political because the public sector unions are always bargaining with the taxpayer, essentially. So no matter how you slice it, dues are political. So he won that argument in court, and the courts basically said that, yes, you cannot compel someone to subsidize your political speech against their will. So that's really what it was about, was basically saying, hey, look, if you don't want to be a member of the union, you shouldn't be forced to pay the union. And if you want to be a member, go for it, pay full dues. But it's within your rights to not be a member as well.
And of course, in the aftermath of that ruling, all the labor unions immediately complied with the law.
Sure.
I'm being a little facetious here.
Yeah, well, and it's, if you look back in history, I think it's true of any Supreme Court ruling. There's very few, if any, instances where the Supreme Court ruled and everyone just lined up and followed suit and followed the law. I mean, I think that was, you know, that was true in Brown v. Board of Education. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a long fight to get to where we are now. But yeah, there are ongoing issues. Certainly public sector unions, rather than serving the membership better in a lot of cases, are resorting to other tactics to try and coerce or compel people to stay in.
In terms of the labor union representation, if the union, like any other business, and we would view them as any other business, other than the special treatment that they get, like any business, if they were providing a value to their customers, their union members, would not the members want to stay and want to be represented? So isn't it incumbent upon the labor union to prove its value to its own members?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think to their credit, they have been trying to do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what I think is a little more telling is that things like maintenance of membership, which is a narrow window in which union members can get out. In a lot of cases, it's a 10 or 15 day window every 4 years that they can leave. Provisions like that, my go-to phrase has been, captivity is not solidarity. And while unions are preaching solidarity at the state and national level, I think it's pretty telling that they have to rely on these gimmicks and complicated resignation processes to keep people in. So it's to simplify the argument, it would be like you're living in a small town and you've got one pizza place within 50 miles. They don't have to sell you very good pizza because there's no competition. Mm-hmm. You're a captive audience. In Pennsylvania, we have exclusive representation. They don't have to give a very good product because you're forced to accept their product whether you want to or not.
But now workers do have the right to leave if they want. So Pennsylvania, we're going to talk here specifically about school districts. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania has, what, 500 school districts?
Yep, 500.
Each of these school districts negotiates a contract with the teachers and others in their district. As we look at the wide range of this, and it's now been a year and a half or so since the Janus decision, are a number of the school districts falling in line and removing these provisions that prevent people from leaving or throwing roadblocks in their way? Or are they, is there solidarity among union leaders to fight this all across the board in all these districts?
Yeah, well, teachers' unions are an interesting animal. And I think, you know, I'm saying this as a 21-year teacher myself. I think most teachers, it's fair to say, most teachers view the union as their local. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily think about the state and national so much. So when you talk about kind of the social pressures of being in a union, it's usually the local union membership that perpetuates the local union and union membership in general. So teachers generally see a lot of value in their local, except that less than 5% of their dues in a lot of cases go to the local. Mm. Most of it is getting funneled to the state and national. So it would be great if the compliance were there. But unfortunately, what's been happening is PSEA has instructed the locals to try to keep these fair share fees, these agency shop fees, which the Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional, in their contracts. So there are about 20 school districts in Pennsylvania right now that have renegotiated contracts since the Janus ruling, since the Supreme Court ruled fair share fees or agency shop fees, whatever you want to call them, unconstitutional. And these districts have actually gone on to continue including fair share fees as part of the contract. PSEA says, you know, basically this is not a big deal. These are unenforceable in the contract, but we'll just keep them in there. It's kind of a sleeper cell type of a move. We'll keep this unconstitutional provision in there. And the intent's pretty clear. There's actually a school district in Adams County, Bermudian Springs School District, where they had the audacity to actually say, should the Janus decision be overturned, we're going to go ahead and reinstitute fair share fees. So it's, you know, the play is pretty clear. They're going to ignore the Supreme Court, keep the language in all 500 of these contracts with the design set on their intention set on overturning the Supreme Court ruling down the road.
We are talking with Keith Williams, who is with Americans for Fair Treatment. And we're talking about the Janus ruling that upheld the rights of individual employees to not be forced to pay really any money whatsoever to a labor union if they don't want to. And the fact that particularly the Pennsylvania State Education Association, the PSEA, is not really complying with that. So you talked about Bermudian Springs, Keith, but can you give us a couple of other examples of where your organization has been involved with teachers who are finding that their constitutional rights are not being honored?
Again, there's about 20 school districts right now across the state that have renegotiated contracts. And those fair share fees are included in those contracts. Right now, again, because of the Supreme Court ruling, they can't enforce the fair share fees mm-hmm. for those teachers that choose not to be members of the union. But certainly, they have every intention of taking advantage of the situation when they can and re-implementing them. So what I've been running into is less fair share fee issues now and more of the compliance with the language. What we're seeing is just they're trying to keep it in the contracts. There's been some representational issues. Maintenance of membership is an ongoing issue when people want to get out. And again, they don't make it easy. You know, it's whether it's PSEA or AFSCME or SEIU, I think the question everybody should be asking is, look, if it's truly so great to be in, why is it so hard to get out?
Has there been any litigation on that issue, or is that something that's still likely ahead?
That's likely ahead. I haven't encountered any yet, but again, mm-hmm. you know, there's new things popping up every day, and it's the games we play. So.
And this will continue, I'm sure, to be an issue for the foreseeable future. Again, Keith Williams, who is the Pennsylvania Director of Americans for Fair Treatment. And Keith, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Americans for Fair Treatment is primarily an outreach to public sector workers to notify them of their rights. So the unions are supposed to advocate for workers in the workplace, but there really wasn't a place for workers to go when they needed to hold their unions accountable. And so that's really what we do is ensure that state workers, public sector workers have their rights to freedom of association respected by public sector unions.
And if folks want more information or to contact you, do you have a website?
Yeah, we do. AmericansForFairTreatment.org. And then we also have our other two project organizations, which are Free to Teach, F-R-E-E-T-O, teach.org, and freedomtoserve.org.
Again, Keith Williams from Americans for Fair Treatment. Keith, thank you for being here.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.